Welcome back to WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman here with you tonight. 312-981-7200, the phone number. The new film, Uncut Gems, is out in theaters on Christmas Day. It's a crime comedy drama starring Adam Sandler as a diamond merchant in Manhattan who finds himself mortgaging his life chasing the score of a lifetime.
I made a crazy risk to gamble. And it's about to pay off. So I want the Celtics to cover. I want the Celtics halftime. I want Garnett points and rebounds. What do you know? I don't know. I just know.
Well, I'll tell you what I know. That's the dumbest f***ing bet I ever heard of.
I disagree. I disagree, Gary.
Uncut Gems is already getting great reviews. It was nominated for a slew of Spirit Awards. The film stars Adam Sandler, Idina Menzel, Judd Hirsch, Lakeith Stanfield, and Chicago's very own Kevin Garnett. It's executive produced by Martin Scorsese and co-written and directed by my guests tonight, Benny and Josh Safdie. The two New York indie filmmakers have been making great films for years, and they're in studio with me tonight on WGN Radio. Great to have you guys here.
Great, yes.
Great film. Great film. I really loved it.
Thank you. We spent 10 years working on this. Feels a little good to hear that.
Well, this is a story that's near and dear to your family. Your dad spent some time in the Manhattan Diamond District.
Correct.
Was a goal to set something about this life around this part of New York?
You know, yeah, when we were kids, our dad was a runner and a salesman, you know, for a jeweler in the Diamond District. And the stories were always really pulpy and fun, and they were always thrilling. And that's the first 10 years ago when we wrote the first draft, which we went out to Sandler with, which he passed on 10 years ago.
I'm going to ask you about that later.
He, the instinct was to kind of really exploit the pulpy narrative of those stories. But then you start doing the research and you ingratiate yourself into the Diamond District there. And then next thing you know it, you're really feeling the energy of the Diamond District and the gamble on top of a gamble on top of a gamble that everybody's doing. And then there's this mysticism of the jewelry that's mm-hmm. that's embedded in the Diamond District there. And it's an energy that we wanted to put on camera. And I think that energy in a movie theater with people around you, you just start feeling people leaning towards the edge of their seats.
There's a lot of thrilling is the right word. When you guys do research on it, what do you do to learn more about jewelers and the Diamond District?
Well, yeah, you just kind of, you have to ingratiate yourself into that community. And it's funny because when we first started out 10 years ago, we probably wouldn't have been able to have the access that we have this time around, because you really did have to get to know everybody.
Well, it's a world that thrives on, you know, consumerism and materialism and financial success, any sort of, and when we first started going to the Diamond District, they didn't care about, you know, the fact that Ronald Bronstein won a Gotham Award for our movie. I'm showing up with press clippings, and I've never done that. I don't care about press clippings, but I'm showing up to these jewelers being like, check it out, check it out, check it out. And then over the course of the 10 years, we did a documentary called Lenny Cook that kind of reached them because it blew up on World Star and athletes were talking about it. Then we did a small film, you know, because I met a girl in the Diamond District while I was kind of undercover working there. And we made a whole movie about her life. And then Rob Pattinson saw that film and we made Good Time.
So it's all about relationships.
Yeah.
Not like the Diamond District.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Well, what's amazing about the district is you always think it's going to change or like it'll go away. But it's been around for so long and it's totally adapted to the times. And yet it still has these kind of medieval qualities of like the word is your bond. And like there's just like all these – there's no – everything is on paper. You know, right. There's a lot of physicality to it that's really amazing.
It's medieval.
It is because, you know, in Chicago, it's Wabash. Downtown, we have
Do they have a bling culture there?
It's not. It's interesting.
More like engagement ring
stuff.
Yeah,
it's more engagement ring stuff and a lot of, but very similar in the way that you have the buzz-in, you know, like mm-hmm. everything that's set up, and it looks like it's a forgotten time.
Yeah.
But I was just down there this week, and it is buzzing. I mean, yeah. There's people everywhere. I couldn't even get on the elevator to go up in this room.
Yeah,
so you
exactly,
get the idea.
Actually
yeah,
true.
Right. Yeah.
The elevator. We did have a big like elevator scene once in the lobby. We cut it out, but it's a very important thing. Is the line that you wait to get in the elevator? They're all so small.
Well, I mean, if you ever watch Hardcore Pawn, you ever see that show?
Yeah, yeah.
Like the Les Gold character. That's his name.
Yeah,
is,
yeah,
right? Yeah. There's a certain type of person also who's. It's like a 20th century kind of American dream of like, I'm going to build this business and it's going to thrive and I'm going to do whatever I have to do to make it thrive. But then you have on top of it jewelry, which is shiny mm-hmm. and yeah. you have these kind of treasures
well, yeah,
which
it's
kind
like,
of add to the allure and the glitz of that American
dream. And it's
dream.
Like you have this kind of tough, identity, and yet your hands have to be very deft at holding these very small rocks. You know, it's like a kind of contradiction.
The movie, and we talked a little bit about, you know, the idea of mortgaging his life to get the score of a mm-hmm. lifetime. But there is something about that is relatable beyond the jewelry business. This idea that a lot of people who are entrepreneurs in business, they got all these side deals going, and almost everything has to go right for them to be able to score,
or
in their heads would score. So there is a relatable concept here of not unlike filmmakers unlike jewelers, it's that there is this that you have to have this hustle, and the side hustles can sidetrack you if you're not careful.
Yeah, it's like in the process of making this movie, it's like the first time we went out to Sandler, he said. Like, we didn't really get a response, because, like, who were we trying to reach out to him?
Who did we think we were that Adam Sandler would even listen to us?
So, but it's like we made something that we thought, okay, we can go out and do this. We can parlay it into something else. And when that doesn't work out, you got to figure out another way. And then you make something there. And then that was Lenny Cook. And then you kind of package that up and try and parlay onto that. So it always... We really have been kind of parlaying to get to this point. And
the story of parlaying always doesn't matter what the industry is. It always is just about how the guts and the hustle and you put it together. But rarely does it talk about the defeats or how close you are to falling off the edge. And that's what makes this movie relatable to all of us. Is you're just like, oh, you're sweating that any of the deals that the character has falls apart and it's over for
sure. I mean, we grew up with flawed people around us all the time. And the movie's called Uncut Gems for that reason. You know, it's this idea. Uncut gem, especially in the trade, the jewelry trade, is, you know, these things that are kind of deemed unvaluable because of their appearances on the outside. Maybe they're rough and kind of, but once you get down deep underneath it, in spite of those flaws, like, you know, the failures of a person, you can get to a deep thing about their character that actually makes them even more relatable and in a weird way lovable. And I think the cool thing about this movie is that, you know, Sandler is just an American icon and lovable, and we wanted to lean into that, but couple it and contradict it with this guy who's running around doing a lot of things, just, again, like you keep saying, to show the world and the universe that he belongs.
Mm-hmm. Uncut Gems is out on Christmas Day.
It's a great Christmas movie.
It is a great Christmas movie. In studio with me, the brothers, Benny and Josh Safdie, they're the directors and the writers of this film, and we'll take a quick break, come back, and we'll continue the conversation here on 720 WGN. Welcome back to WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. In studio with us, Benny and Josh Safdie. They are the directors and the writers of the film Uncut Gems, which is out on Christmas Day. Why Adam Sandler?
Oh, God. Well, we grew up with his comedy records. Those were huge to us. But Sandler is the only person, who can make his own movies work. And not only work, but become these beacons of American culture. He is the only person who I think could have played this part would have been Rodney Dangerfield 10 years before Easy Money.
Interesting.
That's
it. Yeah.
Because you need somebody who is basically going to use comedy to kind of, at every moment, win people over. So, and he has this ability to... You know, you see it in all of his movies, and you see it in real life. If you've ever had an opportunity to meet him on the street, I hope that you feel encouraged to do so, because he is just a mensch of a mensch of a mensch. He has this ability to make you root for him and ground the most absurd scenarios in a strange form of realism.
It's crazy, because you look at some of even his early, like the comedies that he does, you really feel that everything is happening to the guy on the screen and that he has to make it and get it done. And from the beginning, we knew that Howard wouldn't work unless that was present, because he does some things that you might not like. Oh, that he's kind of an unlikable guy, but you still are rooting and yelling at the screen. Oh, do this, do that, because you care about him. You know?
I think that, you know, recently there was a conversation between Brad Pitt and Sandler, and Pitt said something interesting. He talked about this thing behind Sandler's eyes. I might be deducing that more than he actually said it, but he talks about this thing that exists in Sandler as an artist, and it's a reason why he works so much and needs to constantly stay working, is that he's constantly looking for this thing, and it might show up in a joke, it might show up in a piece of music, it might show up in a movie that he watched, it might show up in a guy who's eating breakfast, a bowl of soup behind you. That's not joking. These things have happened with him, that he will just find himself transferred to a place of pure inspiration, that like life is greater than us on this planet. It's cool.
It's paying off, because Adam Sandler, like I mentioned at the beginning, the Spirit Awards, but he is playing this dramatic character, is going to be talk of the town for next month. So, I mean, even up to Oscar time. So for you guys to be able to look at a comedian and say, we want this guy, even though he's going to be a dramatic, it's going to be a more flawed and more nuanced character than Adam Sandler's ever played. Mm-hmm. You made the right call, because obviously the critics, everyone just love it.
Well, he put in a lot of work. You know, we spent a lot of time together early on, like 4 months before shooting, even well before that, but really doing tests of the character where he wasn't even comfortable yet. You know, he was just trying testing out some of the voice, testing out some of the body language, the wardrobe, and really trailing jewelers, you know, going and meeting different people in L.A. and New York and just putting in the time, because he knew from the beginning that it wasn't going to be him that he was playing. He was going to be playing another person and disappearing into that.
We also had the benefit of following his 50-city tour that he filmed for his Netflix special, 100% Fresh.
Right, right.
Because we had his character is a loudmouth. He's a motor mouth. He talks all the time. He's constantly making little jokes here and there. And he had to, his muscles were very sharp. And I think comedians, I've sat in a movie theater where a movie's supposed to be sad. And, you know, when people are laughing around you, it's infectious. If you see it, go and see a thriller or a horror film, that energy adds to the immersive experience. Right. If you go and see a movie that's supposed to be sad and you hear someone crying across the room, it doesn't really encourage you to feel sad. You're just kind of, if anything, it might make you feel self-conscious that you're not. But I do think that Sandler, being a comedian, knows the stakes of that comedy.
And you guys seem to really go there. Lakeith Stanfield, who's not funny in the movie, but he's a great guy. Judd Hirsch, of course. Yep. So it does
feel like Eric Bogosian isn't funny in the movie, but he's
done funny stuff. But you could tell that you guys are gravitating to comedians to play. I'm not saying it's like serious, like a super drama, but the idea they're not playing comedic.
Well, there's a certain comedian who uses the kind of the dark side of their life and makes light of it, you know, and so there is a connection to a more serious side, and they're using that and they're mining that. So there is kind of a fresh stone that you can kind of
crack. Well, think about Idina Menzel. You know, Idina Menzel, who I'm so happy with. She's unbelievable in the film. But she's, you know, hasn't been in many movies. You know, she just got a star in Hollywood on this,
terrific Broadway.
She was just described as leather lunged, which I thought was the most incredible description.
She's an icon, Idina Menzel. And she really is the kind of, she's like the kind of a center of this movie. someone like The Weeknd, him being in this movie and playing a version of himself, just like Garnett, you know, there's these ideas of taking people and either working with their own personas or working against trying to get at who they are.
Well, I was going to ask about that because Kevin Garnett, comes on the screen and you're like, he's playing himself and you're like, oh, that's going to be a great cameo. Mm-hmm. And then you realize quickly that he is not a cameo. He's a supporting actor in this and he's going to be throughout the film.
Yeah.
The Weeknd as well has scenes where it's dialogue. It's not just him on stage. Oh, The Weeknd is in this film.
Yeah.
As directors, how do you get the best performances out of people who may not have backgrounds in acting?
Well, it's something we've been working towards for a very long time.
Like we've worked with kind of first-time actors for a little bit, and you just kind of have to gauge what their essence is, who they are, and then work with that. And then with Kevin, there was a certain passion that you could see on the court, and then also when he was talking to you, the way he would tell stories. He would set things up almost in three dimensions. You could kind of see where somebody was sitting, and he would then tell you the kind of atmosphere that was around. But then what's more is that he would kind of then shift the conversation, shift the story based on if you were paying attention,
acting. Yeah. Giving shape to a story is
storytelling,
acting.
Right.
He tells a story that I can't go into, Benny said, it's not my story to tell. At some point, if you ever get him on this show, you got to get him to tell the story about when he was 17 and he played at a gym down somewhere in Chicago against Stedman, Jordan, Pippen, and Isaiah Thomas was sitting on the sidelines, and he got into a fight with Pippen, and that was the day that Isaiah Thomas convinced him to go from prep to pros.
There are so many stories about that happening on the west side of Chicago. There's a couple of gyms. I guarantee that happened. All right, so your style, and this, I think, makes it even tougher for Kevin Garnett or for The Weeknd, but you guys have such a unique style of direction. It's very, I don't want to say chaotic, it's very New York. It's like New York personified. Anyone who says they're a New York filmmaker and you watch their films, if you don't get that feel that you're really trying to encapsulate what it's like to be in New York, they're not doing it right. You guys do it. And I don't know if it's in the sound design or in the scenic design, but you are really focusing on how chaotic any scene might be. The scenes with Kevin Garnett in the jewelry store, that's tough for an actor. There's a lot of walking around. There's a lot of talking. There's a lot of action, and like real life.
Yeah.
Well, we had a bunch of, you know, that was, we brought a lot of 40 47th Street to our stage where we built the jewelry showroom, because we wanted that energy not only on the set but surrounding. So if you went to go get a coffee, next thing you know it, you're sitting around and you're hearing, you know, a jeweler try to sell a diamond ring to, you know, someone from the art department. You know, like, oh no, trust me, not all jewelry is expensive. You can afford this. And that energy bleeds onto the set. One day I showed up and everyone was waiting outside the showroom, and I said, what's going on? They said, oh, Todd's in there. Todd was the guy who Sandler was trailing, who we had on set as a vibe ambassador. And I said, well, what is he doing in our showroom? He said, oh, he's using it for a second. I said, that's enough with this already. So I threw the door open.
He's using it.
And there was he was selling jewelry to a local person in Long Island, and he was using the showroom as a showroom. And it's a fictitious place.
It's a set.
Exactly.
Right.
But we encourage that with all the extras to keep talking and try to avoid this element of artifice.
Because, like, just like right now, what happened here is I didn't feel the need to kind of stop myself to let Josh finish. I would talk over him because that's just what feels natural. So I think in a way it helps for the performance, because you don't have to stop and think about the constructs that make that. You're just allowed to go and be. And so
it's really wonderful and unique. And I think that as more people see your work, you'll know what I'm talking about, because you guys are able to use the environment around you. It's not just about the actors and talking over each other and even the style of script. It's about how you design the set and how you design the shot. When Adam Sandler and KG are in his showroom, I'm blown away that people aren't screwing up their lines or doing anything that might mess up the shot. It seems legit. You don't know the camera's there.
Well, yeah, exactly. And
that threat, by the way, adds to the energy of the performance.
Yeah, very. And also, it's like we get so obsessive with making everything seem real. Like, we aren't doing anything, almost, like, to the point where we'll add so many sounds to the scenes in the background. Like, you'll hear like a faint siren in the background, or a jet going. I think in that scene there's a plane that goes in the sky, you know?
And in a way that's big city. That's New York, exactly. Chicago. That's about living here. So it's a fantastic film, Uncut Gems, which is out on Christmas Day. Stars Adam Sandler and Idina Menzel and Judd Hirsch, Lakeith Stanfield, and Chicago's own Kevin Garnett, The Weeknd, everybody. Yeah. It's a great cast. The directors and co-writers in studio tonight, Benny and Josh Safdie. Thanks, you guys, for
Thank
coming
you
in
for
and talking
us.
About
Thank
the
you.
Film. Appreciate
it. Great view over here.